Evening, everybody. We in Torah portion number 29, Achremot. Casey was telling me it's Achremot. She learned Hebrew. I was going to say Achremot. We're in Hebrew. Hebrew for after the death, or after. And Leviticus chapter 16, 1 through 18, 30. The Haf Torah is Amos 9, 7 through 15. And Ezekiel 22, 1 through 19. And we talked about in this week's Torah, Portia, following the deaths of Nadab and Abihu, Elohim warns against unauthorized entry into set-apart place. Only one person, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, may but once a year on Yom Kippur enter in the innermost chamber in the sanctuary to offer the sacred Keteret to Elohim. And thinking about the high priest and thinking about that word in Yom Kippur, you know, Kippur is about the pitch. Kippur was a pitch. You know, we talked about on Noah's Ark, they had to have pitch on the boat to keep from having any leaks, water coming in. And you know, whenever we're going through all these Torah portions, you keep going through them and going through them and going through them. After a while, like in my life this week, you see more and more Yeshua. You see more and more Yeshua. You see more of His covering. You know, when we have a little breakdown or a little mishap or something, there's a leak. There's a hole. And when you got a leak or a hole or your way of entry for darkness to come in, you got to do something about it pretty quickly. You got to make sure that you patch that hole up. You get it fixed. The only way to get it done is through Yeshua. That's the only way. And you know, you can be going through the toughest time you ever think it is of your life. It could be through maybe something that somebody's done to you. Maybe you or I made a mistake doing it to somebody else. Or just maybe you're going through a health issue. It doesn't matter. It may seem like the worstest time of your life. The worst thing to do is try and think your way through it. You can't think your way through it. There's no way to think your way through it. Because if we could think our way through it, then we wouldn't need Yeshua. You wouldn't need Yeshua to help you through it. That's the only way you're going to get through it, and through the set-apart spirit. Because we're trying to think our way through it, but He already knows already. He knows about our infirmities. He's been through it all. He's the one we go to for our help. He's the master at it, and He's the high priest before the Almighty. We got to go to Him. We just got to stop and acknowledge Him. You know, I had a little tough day this week. And you know, no matter what I tried to do to shake it, I couldn't shake it. I had to stop and I had to pause. And I had to cry out to Yeshua. I said, Yeshua, You know about my infirmities. You know about what's going on. I need Your help. And I'm just sitting there meditating, and nothing was happening. So I went and got in my Word. And when I got in the Word and started getting washed in the Word and listening to Him, it started all settling me. And all peace was coming over me. I started going through the Scripture after Scripture. And we'll get into the Torah portion, but I want to go through these Scriptures. These Scriptures are so important because this is what He was sharing with me as I'm asking Him to help me. And He's just sharing this with me. And you know the name. We talked about the name, Yeshua. The name Yeshua is so important. If we don't go to the Torah portions, we don't go to the beginning of our book and read about anything in there, you really don't know what He's all about, who He is, or what the name is really all about. You got to know who He is and what He's all about. That's the only way He's going to be able to help you if you know who He is. In John 14, 23 through 24, He talks about these words not being His. They're the Father's words. It says, and Yeshua answered Him, if anyone loves Me, he shall guard My word, and My Father shall love him, and we shall come to him. We shall come to him and make our stay with him. He who does not love Me does not guard My words, does not guard My words. And the word which you hear is not Mine, but the Father who sent Me. What did Yeshua do? He learned everything about His Father's words, His Father's perfect word that would help Him through it all. If we add to it or take away from it, it's not going to help us at all. We got to keep it pure and clean. In the Torah portion, we have Moshe and Aharon, the high priest dealing with the people in their state of uncleanness and sin a way to come before Yehovah and be washed. And in this Torah portion, as I was going through it, after I've been through it so many times, I went back and I said, I'm just going to go through chapter 16 again. And now when I read 16, I see it all in there. I see the young bull. Yeshua is our sin offering. He's the young bull. And then he's the ram. He's the ascending offering. He's the way to go to the Father, to get to the Father. He's our way to the Father. So let's go over it. Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 16. And we'll read it slow. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe after the death of the two sons of Aharon as they drew near before Yehovah and died. He's reminding them. This should be a reminder for us to pay attention when we're going through our week, wherever we're going, whatever we're doing. Watch what we say. Watch what we're doing. Pay attention because we can get ourselves in a lot of trouble. That's what I was talking about a little while ago about Kapar, about the pitch, making sure we don't have a way of entry for darkness to come in. We got to make sure that we repent, make sure we make everything right. And Yehovah said to Moshe, speak to Aharon, your brother, not to come in at all times to the set apart place inside the veil before the lid of atonement, which is on the ark, lest he die because I appear in the cloud above the lid of atonement. There's a certain way we're to come before Yehovah. And that's what Yeshua did for us. With this, Aharon should come into the set-apart place with the blood of a young bull. You see, Yeshua? With the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and of a ram as an ascending offering. There's the ascending offering to be able to come before Yehovah. He should put on the set-apart linen long shirt with linen trousers on his flesh and gird himself with a linen girdle and be dressed with the linen turban. They are set-apart garments. And he shall bathe his body in water and shall put them on. We got to stay bathed in the Word, washed in the Word. We got to keep our mind clear and clean. Because how many know we live in a very perverse and messed up world? There's darkness all around. We got to constantly keep ourselves clean, keep ourselves washed up so we can continually hear his voice speak to us, the set apart spirit. Because remember, you got to be clean before you can be set apart. And shall put them on. And from the congregation of the children of Israel, he takes two male goats as a sin offering, and one ram as an ascending offering. And Aharon shall bring the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and let them stand before Yehovah at the door of the tent of appointment. And Aharon shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for Yehovah and the other lot for Azazel. And Aharon shall bring the goat on which the lot for Yehovah fell and shall prepare it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot for Azazel fell is caused to stand alive before Yehovah to make atonement upon it, to send it into the wilderness to Azazel. And Aharon shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall slay the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself. And shall take a fire holder filled with burning coals of fire from the slaughter place before Yehovah, with his hands filled with sweet incense, beaten fine, and shall bring it inside the veil. Now, as I'm reading this, I'm reminded, I shall raise up one from among your brethren like you. And this is all what he's going to do. He's going to go before you. And he's going to make it before the Father so that we have a way back to the Father. Now, he gave us a promise. That was all promises to come. That promise of Yeshua came. And that's not the end of the promise. The rest of the promise is to follow him and do what he says. He's going to keep us clean. And we'll end up in the last part of the promise, in Yom Kippur, all the way to the eighth day, we'll be able to meet the Father without being destroyed or killed. That's the completion of the promise, is to meet the Father face to face. There's no meeting the Father face to face without being destroyed. If we're not clean and made pure and whole before him, we have our sin offering, the young bull, that's Yeshua. We have the ascending offering, that's the ram. to go before the Father so we can speak to Him. There's no other way to the Father but through Yeshua. He's our high priest, and He makes intercession for us. When we're going through the roughest of the rough, I promise you, there's no other way to get through it but through Him. And I promise you, He can help you through it all. Through all our infirmities. He knows about our infirmities. He knows what we're going through. He's the one who knows what we're going through. You shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the lid of atonement, on the east side, also in front of the lid of atonement. He sprinkled some of the blood with his finger 7 times. And he shall slay the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. And shall bring its blood inside the veil. There's nobody is ever going to go through as much pressure as Yeshua went through. He went through some serious pressure for us. And he came from the herd, just like it says in the scriptures. That's where he came from. And shall bring his blood inside the veil, and shall do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle on the lid of atonement in the front of the lid of atonement. And he shall make atonement for the set apart place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so he does for the tent of appointment, which is dwelling with them in the midst of their uncleanness. And no man should be in the tent of appointment when he goes in to make atonement in a set apart place. There's no other prescribed way to go but the prescribed way that Yehovah says. And Yeshua performed it perfectly, and now he stands at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And he's going to get us there if we listen. We just got to follow his instructions and stay yoked up with him. I don't care how hard it gets, you don't quit. You got to stop right there, call upon him, and he'll help you whatever you're going through. He will help you. He knows. And he shall make atonement for himself and for his household and for the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out to the slaughter place that is before Yehovah and make atonement for it. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the slaughter place all around. And he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger 7 times and cleanse it and set it apart from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he has finished atoning for the set apart place and the tent of appointment and the slaughter place, he shall bring the live goat. Then Aharon shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and shall confess over it all the crookedness of the children of Israel. And that's what Yeshua did. It all went on him. Everything that we did went on him. He took it all. He bore all those griefs and all those things that we did wrong. And shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a fit man. And the goat shall bear on itself all their crookedness to a land cut off. Thus he shall send the goat away into the wilderness. Aharon shall then come into the tent of appointment and shall take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the set apart place and shall leave them there. And he shall bathe his body in water in a set apart place and shall put on his garments and shall come out and prepare his ascending offering and ascending offering of the people and make atonement for himself and for the people and burn the fat of the sin offering on the slaughter place. And he who sent away the goat to Azazel washes his garments and shall bathe his body in water. I'm sitting here reading this. I'm reminded of I have a big colony of bees in the trunk of my cypress tree. I've been going through this Torah portion, reading on trees. We might be able to get into that later, but it's pretty incredible. But I go there every day when I come home from work, and I like to go sit and I kneel by the tree, and I can get really, really close to them. As long as you don't swat or move around, you can get really, really close and watch them. And you just watch them go out into the field. I used to go to school at Beerus High School, and right there where I'm living, that's where the school used to be. And you could look out in the field. When I was a kid, I used to go out in that field, and we'd swat the bees, and we'd put them in a little jar and everything. We was little kids. But I watched these bees, and they go all out in that same field where the school used to be, and they got all them little white, they're not flowers, I guess they're flowers, I don't know, they're little white little things, and they get stuff off of them, and they go in, they come out, go in, and come out, and I watch, and they got their little legs full, and they go in there. They come in and go out. Well, day before yesterday, I come home and I went to check them out. Something wasn't right. They were all in a pile, kind of confused. And I was watching them. And every now and then, one would grab one that was kind of disoriented or something, and would just grab him and fly away with him. And I see another one, grab another one, and then one's kind of dying on the ground, half dead. It would sense it, and it would fly away with it and go drop it off. And when it would come back, then it was kind of confused. You could see that something was going on. There was something getting into the camp. Something was getting into the bees. I don't know what it was, what was happening, but something was happening to the bees. They were all disoriented. And so I took a stick, and I started moving them around. They were just falling. I'm like, man, the bees, something's wrong with them. They must be dying. They must have got a hold of something. I don't know what's happening to them, but it looks like they're dying. So I ran and got the water hose, and I sprayed them down to where they just all went on the ground, and some of them was crawling up the tree. I mean, I could touch them. Usually, if you go and touch that hive, they're coming out after you. But they were just disoriented. I was like, man, something's wrong. But you can tell, whatever was attacking them, they're trying to take it out to camp. They're trying to dispose of it. And they would risk their lives to do it. They would take it out to camp. They'd come back. They would be all disoriented. I remember Brother Preston was telling me, he said he heard a story about, you know, seven dust and different kind of poisons that you can use. The bees will go get on their legs, and they'll bring it back to the hive, and it'll start hurting the rest of the bees. Whatever was going on, I hit them with the hose really good. And I prayed over them. You know, I like honeybees, and I've been reading up on honeybees that, you know, they pollinate everything, the gardens, the flowers, and everything. We need honeybees. In China, one of them countries over there, they said there's the population of bees was down so much that they had to pollinate the stuff themselves because they didn't have the bees. That's how important the bees are. Well, I got off my fishing trip, I think it was yesterday, and I came home and I looked. And they're all back doing their thing. Everything was back to normal. All the dead bees or the whatever was wrong with the bees is all. But it reminded me of the Torah portion of you can't let nothing unclean stay in the camp. Remember Za'arat? It's got to go out because it infects everybody else. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. It's got to be cut off or put out. And the priest would check it and inspect it. Hey, we got to fix this. And so it just reminded me, it's the same thing. He made the bees. He made the colony. They know how to take care of themselves. And they were risking their lives, taking the dead ones off, getting disoriented themselves. But anything they could do to save the colony. And that's what Yeshua is doing with us. He's going to bring us into a new place. And it's all going to be brand new. And all this sin and corruption is not going to be there. It's not going to be allowed in the kingdom. And the Father's doing it with a lot of mercy and grace, slowly working us there, whosoever will. Whosoever will. And it's up to us, each individual, to do that. In verse 26, and he who sent away the goat to Azazel washes his garments. You keep hearing about washing. Washing. It's important to keep ourselves washed in the Word. You have to keep your mind washed. You have to keep your conscience clean from dead works. And shall bathe in his body in water, and afterward he comes into the camp. And the bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the set-apart place, is brought outside the camp. And they shall burn their skins and their flesh and their dung with fire. And he who burns them washes his garments and shall bathe his body in water. And afterward, he comes into the camp. And this shall be for you a law forever. In the seventh new moon, on the tenth day of the new moon, you afflict your beings and do not work, the native or the stranger who sojourns among you. For on that day he makes atonement for you to cleanse you, to be clean from all your sins before Yehovah. It is a Shabbat of rest for you, and you shall afflict your beings a law forever. And the priest who is anointed and ordained to serve as priest in his father's place shall make atonement and shall put on the linen garments, the set-apart garments. And he shall make atonement for the most set-apart place and make atonement for the tent of appointment and for the slaughter place and make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. And this shall be for you. And this shall be for you a law forever to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as Jehovah commanded Moshe. And Yeshua did this well. Yeshua did this well. Now I want to go on to Philippians chapter 2. Verses 5 through 18. We want to focus on Yeshua for a little bit. Last Torah portion, I tried to focus on different things in the Torah portion. It always led me to focus in on Yeshua. That was brought up through the passion of Christ. And in this one, I'm back there again through little trials and errors that I'm going through, or I went through. In Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 18. Again, let this mind be in you, which is also in Messiah Yeshua, who being in the form of Elohim, did not regard equality with Elohim a matter to be grasped. But what did he do? He emptied himself. He emptied himself. Taking the form of a servant, came to be in the likeness of men, and having been found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, death even of a stake. Elohim, therefore, has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Yeshua is the name above every name, that at the name of Yeshua, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Yeshua Messiah is master to the esteem of Elohim the Father. And when you're going through something, bow to Yeshua. Bow and acknowledge Yeshua. Listen to Yeshua, and the spirit that he set apart to us will speak to you and guide you and direct you in what you're supposed to do. Don't try and make the step on your own. Don't try and think about it. You got to stop. You got to stop and humble ourselves. We got to repent, teshuva, whatever it takes, and ask him, and he'll direct you. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to the Father. I'm going to send you the helper. My voice is going to come to you. My Father and I is going to come to you in the Spirit. We're going to speak with you. But it's got to be met on his terms. It's got to be met just like the Torah says. Just like he did, that's what we have to do. So that my beloved, as you always obey, not only in my presence, but now much rather in my absence, work out your own deliverance with fear and trembling. For as Elohim is working in you, both to desire and to work for his good pleasure. Do all matters without grumblings and disputings, in order that you be blameless and faultless, children of Elohim without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding on to the word of life, for a boast to me in the day of Messiah, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. In fact, even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the offering and service of your belief, I am glad and rejoice with you all, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. And you just sit here by yourself, and you sit here reading these and meditating on these, praying and talking to the Father, praying and talking to Yeshua, and I assure you, he's going to tell you what you need to do. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. We got to wash our minds in the Word. Keep washing our minds in the Word. Wash our minds in the Word. And Yeshua atones for us. Remember, he's the young bull and he's the ram offering to be able to go before the Father. So when we speak with him, that's how we speak to the Father. There's no other way to the Father but by him. What then shall we say to this? If Elohim is for us, who is against us? Truly, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up on behalf of us all, how shall he not along with him freely give us all else? Who shall bring any charge against Elohim's chosen ones? It is Elohim who is declaring right. Who is he who is condemning? It is Messiah who died and furthermore is also raised up, who is also at the right hand of Elohim, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of the Messiah? Shall pressure? Shall distress? Shall persecution, shall scarcity of food, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? I don't care what we're going through. There's nothing too hard that we're going through that we can't make it through with Yeshua. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are reckoned as sheep of the slaughter. But in all this we are more than overcomers through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor messengers, nor principalities, nor powers, neither present, nor future, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Elohim, which is in Messiah Yeshua, our Master. He's our Master, and He's the one we look up to. Don't quit. Don't turn around. Don't give up. I don't care how tough it is. He done paid the serious price for us. He took upon all that stuff upon Himself that was for us. Just go to Him. Repent. He'll take it. He's been atoned for us. Atonement has already come. And we can come before the presence of Yehovah. And He already knows what's up ahead. He'll never give us more than what we can bear. He'll never do that. Our minds make us think that. We got to continually be washed in the Word. If you're not washed in the Word, your mind's going to trick you into doing the wrong thing and make bad decisions and choices. Darkness comes in that hole. If you don't put the kafar on, if you don't put the pitch on, darkness is going to infiltrate. You got to get it out. You got to get rid of it. And He did that for us. You just go to Him, and He's going to take care of it for you. You got to go to Yeshua. But it's hard to go to Yeshua if you don't really know who He is. We call Him the name Jesus, you call Him the name Yeshua, but if you don't know who He is, you really don't know what kind of package you have. You really don't know what kind of help you have. That's why we got to go back to the Torah and look in the beginning, what was offered, what had to be offered. The people had to be clean. They had no way to be clean. If it wasn't for Yehovah in the cloud and Yehovah having a block, everybody would be dead. Grace and mercy held us from being dead. We wouldn't be alive today. Our forefathers all would be dead today. I praise Yehovah for Aharon getting himself right. And he made it through. And his children made it through. And it was children's children that made it through. All the way to the one Yehovah promised us, Yeshua Messiah. And he came and he did that for us. And the rest of the promise is yet to come. That promise is done by faith. Faith without works is dead. Faith is believing something. Look, on a shrimp boat, you could say, I'm going shrimping. I'm going to make a lot of money shrimping. But you can talk about that all day long. If you ain't got no nets, you ain't got no boat, and you ain't out there trying to get skilled in it, trying to learn where they are and catch them, you're not catching no shrimp. That's not real belief. Real belief in the Hebrew and the Greek is whenever you're really doing it, actually doing it, and believing that He done came already, and I'm going to meet the Father because I'm going to continue to work on my life and get cleansed and do what I'm supposed to do in Yeshua. He promised His Son. The rest of the promise, if continue believing without swaying from anything, leads us to Yehovah. We got to set the mind on a set apart spirit. And we cannot do it on our own, for Yeshua would not have had to come if we could. Remember, we can't do it on our own. So we got to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, each and every one of us individually. And we're going to go through it. And I'm sorry, this is what it is. We're going to go through it. We have to go through things. But when you're going through it, you know, I put some notes down. I was reminding myself, you know, it's like, it seems like everything is so far away and things ain't going your way or things not happening on certain times. But you got to reach out and you got to grab it through Yeshua and pull it in. And when you get there, there's peace like you wouldn't believe comes. It's like you just settled. When you was unsettled, whatever you're going through, it just settles everything. It brings a peace. Like nothing can infiltrate anymore. It's like the atonement has come, you're covered and you're shielded, washed in the Word, and there's nothing that can infiltrate you anymore. You're shielded and protected, and you're at peace. In Luke chapter 24, 49 through 53, and you got to believe what Yeshua is telling us. What He's telling them at this time, at that time, when He's telling us today. He says, see, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. It's a promise, but you are to remain in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. He clothes you with power from on high. And He led them out as far as Bethania, and lifting up His hands, He blessed them, and it came to be while He was blessing them that He was parted from them and was taken up into the heavens, and they, having bowed down to Him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the set apart place praising and blessing Elohim. Amen? Amen. So I went back. I went back. I was looking through some of this and some of these scriptures in my e-sword. And you know, at the bottom of those scriptures, you can see some references to go back to the prophets. And you go back to the Torah. So I went back to Isaiah chapter 44, talking about the promise. Isaiah 44, 1 through 28. I'm telling you, it's like you just all of a sudden just start diving into this. And it's like you don't want to go away from it. You just want to stay there and stay there and keep feeding on it and feeding on it and washing in it and washing in it. And this stays with you for days afterwards. It's incredible. Yeshayahu, Isaiah 44, 1 through 28. But now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says Jehovah, who made you and formed you from the womb. Who helps you? Who helps you? Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, and Yeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I pour water on the thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I pour my spirit on your seed. You see the seed of the promise of the spirit and my blessing on your offspring. That's to come. And they shall spring up among the grass like willows by streams of water. We're talking about streams of water. I remember Psalms chapter 1, and you'll be planted like a tree by streams, by rivers of water. We're trees planted by rivers of water. One says, I belong to Jehovah. Another calls himself by the name of Jacob. Another writes with his hand unto Jehovah and names himself by the name of Israel. Thus says Jehovah, sovereign of Israel, and his redeemer, Jehovah of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no Elohim. And who is like me? Who is like me? Let him call and declare it and lay it before me, since I appointed the everlasting people. And the events that are coming and those that do come, let them declare these to them. Do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not since made you hear and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there an Elo besides me? There is no other rock. I know not one. Those who make an idol, all of them are emptiness, and their delights do not profit. And they are their own witnesses. They neither see nor know, so that they are put to shame. Who would form a mighty one or cast an idol that is of no value? See, all his companions are ashamed, and the workmen, they are but men. But let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. Let them fear. Let them be put to shame altogether. The craftsman in iron with the tools works one in the coals and fashions it with hammers and works it with the strength of his arms. Even so, he shall be hungry and has no strength. He drinks no water and he is weary. The carpenter stretches out his rule. He outlines it with chalk. He fashions it with a plane and he outlines it with the compass and makes it like the figure of a man, according to the comeliness of a man, to remain in the house. He cuts down cedars for himself. He takes cypress and oak, which he raised from among the trees of the forest. He has planted a pine, and the rain nourishes it, and it shall be for a man to burn, for he takes some of it and warms himself. He also kindles and shall bake bread. He also makes a mighty one and bows himself to it, has made a carved image and falls down before it. Half of it shall burn in the fire. With this half, he eats meat. He roasts a roast and is satisfied. He also warms himself and says, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And the rest of it he makes into a mighty one, his carved image. He falls down before it. He worships, prays to it, and says, deliver me, for you are my mighty one. They do not know nor understand, for he has smeared their eyes from seeing and their hearts from understanding. No one recalls it to his heart, nor is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned half of it in the fire and have also baked bread on its coals. I have roasted meat and eaten it, and shall I make the rest of it an abomination? Should I fall down before a log of wood? Feeding on ashes, a deceived heart turns him aside, and he does not deliver his being, nor says, is there not a lie in my right hand? Do you see that? the whole time setting themselves up for destruction and leaving Yehovah out of the picture. I did it with my own hand, but I got my own lie in my right hand. Remember these matters, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. Do not forget me. Remember, when prosperity comes and things are going good, don't say, look what I've done. Look about me. Yehovah gave you the way. He gave you the knowledge. He gave you the know-how. And all of a sudden, you forget him. You forget to read. You forget to pray. You forget to spend the time with him necessary. And we end up having a lie in our right hand, and we get deceived. We let the darkness in. It says, I shall wipe. And he reminds them all right here. Way, way back in the beginning. History repeats itself. You go back and you find out the history and the language, and we put it in its context. This is life for us, to keep us alive, to keep us under his word, to keep us pure and clean. I hope in our future, I expect it in. I shall wipe out your transgressions. It says, I have formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. Do not forget me. I shall wipe out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I shall redeem you. Sing, O heavens, for Yehovah shall do it. Shout, O depths of the earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, forests, and every tree in it. For Yehovah shall redeem Jacob and make himself clear in Israel. Thus said Yehovah, your Redeemer, he who formed you from the womb, I am Yehovah doing all, stretching out the heavens all alone, spreading out the earth with none besides me, frustrating the signs of the babblers and driving diviners mad, turning wise men backward and making their knowledge foolish, confirming the word of his servant and completing the counsel of his messengers, who says of Jerusalem, be inhabited in the cities of Yehuda, they shall be built in her ruins raised up by me, who is saying to the deep, be dry, and your rivers I dry up, who is saying of Koresh, he is my shepherd, and he completes all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, let her be built, and to the Hekel, let her foundation be laid. In Isaiah 59, 2 verses 20 and 21. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, to those turning from transgression in Jacob, declares Yehovah. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says Yehovah. My spirit that is upon you and my words that I have put in your mouth shall not be withdrawn from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says Yehovah, from this time and forever. And in Joel chapter 2, 28, and this is a promise, it's all promises about his spirit. And after this it shall be that I pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men dream dreams, and your young men see visions. And in John 14, starting chapter 1, now, a lot of these scriptures, I sat down and I meditated for a long time on. It's a little different than just reading them at a one-time sitting. You have to go home and you have to sit here and just read it slow and listen. And it says in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in Elohim, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many staying places. And if not, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I shall come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you might be too. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Master, we do not know where you're going, and how we're able to know the way. And Yeshua said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father too. From now on, you know him and have seen him." And Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And Yeshua said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak for myself, but the Father who stays in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe me because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these he shall do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask," this is the point I was getting to, "whatever you ask in my name, that I shall do, in order that the Father may be esteemed in the Son." We can go to him and ask him anything in his name, on his terms, and he'll help us out through whatever it is we're going through. "If you ask whatever, whatever, whatever in my name, I shall do it. If you love me," we got to remember, love is being obedient to his commands and following what he says, doing what he says. "You shall guard my commands, and I shall ask the Father, and he shall give you another helper to stay with you forever, the Spirit of the truth, whom the world is unable to receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, for he stays with you and shall be in you. I shall not leave you as orphans. I'm coming to you, yet a little while, and the world no longer sees me, but you shall see me, because I live, and you shall live. In that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who possesses my commands and guards them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I shall love him and manifest myself to him." And that's what he's doing. As we continue the reading in the Torah portions, he's continuing manifesting himself to us, who he is and what he is. He says, "If anyone loves me, he shall guard my word, and my Father shall love him, and we shall come to him and make our stay with him. He who does not love me does not guard my words." His word is so important. His word is so important to stay focused on. "And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These words I have spoken to you while still with you. But the Helper, the set-apart Spirit whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all and remind you all that what I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You heard that I said to you, I'm going away and I'm coming to you. If you did love me, you would have rejoiced that I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, that when it does take place, you shall believe. I shall no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he possesses none at all in me. But in order for the world to know that I love the Father, and that as the Father commanded me, so I am doing, rise up. Let us go from here." So in this perverse and this crooked world, we're supposed to be light shining in this world, continually staying connected to Yeshua, continually following His Spirit and doing what He says. Got to show up on Shabbat. Got to show up every time the Spirit says to be certain places. It's for our own good. It's to keep us focused and to keep our heart from being afraid. And the last one I'm going to go over right here is Romans chapter 8, verse 9 through 15, before we get into some slides. Romans 8, 9 through 15. "Well, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of Elohim dwells in you. And if any man does not have the Spirit of Messiah, this one is not his. And if Messiah is in you, the body is truly dead on account of sin. But the Spirit is life on account of righteousness." And we're going to get into that, try and get into it tonight about the two different trees. He said a tree, and he proved it to the disciples, a tree that wasn't bearing good fruit, what does it do? He cuts it down. Something that's not bearing good fruit, being clean and washed and obeying his commandments, it gets cut down. But the one that's bearing good fruit, it says, and if Messiah is in you, the body is truly, dead on account of sin, but the Spirit is life on account of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Messiah from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit dwelling in you. So then, brothers, we're not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For you, if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, these are the true sons of Elohim. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And we stay connected to Yeshua, Abba, Father, through Yeshua. We got to keep our mind and our conscience clean. And that's a prayer I pray when I get up in the morning and throughout the day. In the afternoon, after I've been through a long day, I get back home in the evening and I start going through the Word again. I say, Father, I thank you for your Word is washing me. Give me a clean, clear conscience from any dead works. Anything that entered my ears today, my eye gates, my thoughts, clean it up. Because we live in a perverse and a crooked world. And we're around it every day. We've got to constantly keep our minds clean and washed in the Word. And we'll start on slide 36. In Hebrews 4:14, we're talking about Yeshua, the great high priest. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Yeshua, the son of Elohim, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest unable to sympathize with our weakness. You see that? He knows. He knows our weakness and what we're going through. He can help us. We just got to acknowledge him and ask him and get out of our own thoughts. And he's going to show us what we need to do and how to do it and how to get through it. And you will. You will come out. You will come out shining. Let us hold fast our confession. We got to confess to him. For we do not have a high priest unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who was tried in all respects as we are, apart from sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of favor in order to receive compassion and find favor for such timely help. Don't wait too long. Don't think too long. You got to stop. You can't let your thoughts take it away. You got to let Yeshua come in. You got to let him talk with you. You got to listen and pay attention and go to wherever he tells you to go to, however he says to do it. That's how you do it. So if we don't have the knowledge, if we don't have the knowledge of how will we know what is right or what is wrong? Or what is sin and what is righteousness? If we don't read about it, we have to go read about it. You know, I had some guys on a boat the other day, and they were talking about their beards. It's like, yeah, man, I remember in the day when I never used to wear a beard, man, I was ugly. I put on a beard now because I don't want you to see what's under this beard. And I'm just listening to these guys. They're talking about beards and all. And it just, I had to say something. I said, well, you know, I used to not wear a beard. I used to wear a goatee, you know, and it took me a little time, you know, to get used to this beard. And so we started talking about why I grew a beard. I said, I grew a beard because, you know, our church, you know, we started going back to looking up the history and in Hebrew and reading our Bible from the beginning, the Hebrew people. And I started reading there about they wear beards. And so I just started reading that, and I just, God likes a beard. So I started wearing a beard. And I said, it took me a little time to get used to wearing that beard. But anyways, we got on a few more subjects and topics on that. But anyways, we got to talk about that for a little bit. But it's just some knowledge you pick up along the way, and you get to share that when it comes up. You don't share a whole lot, just a little bit if you're led to, you know. On slide 40. the righteousness of Elohim through faith. But now, apart from the Torah, a righteousness of Elohim has been revealed, being witnessed by the Torah and the prophets. And the righteousness of Elohim is through belief in Yeshua Messiah to all, on all who believe, for there is no difference. And for all have sinned and fall short of the esteem of Elohim, being declared right without paying by his favor through the redemption which is in Messiah Yeshua, whom Elohim set forth as an atonement through belief in his blood to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his tolerance Elohim had passed over the sins that had taken place before. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he is righteous and declares righteous the one who has belief in Yeshua. Where then is the boasting? It is shut out by what Torah? Of works? No, but by the Torah of belief. For we reckon that a man is declared right by belief without works of the Torah. What shall we say then? That nations not following after righteousness have obtained righteousness, even the righteousness of belief? But Israel, following after the Torah of righteousness, has not arrived at the Torah of righteousness. Why? Because it was not belief, but as by works of the Torah. For they stumbled at the stone of stumbling. And as it was written, see, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock that makes for falling, and everyone who is believing on him shall not be put to shame. For Messiah is the goal of the Torah unto righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moshe writes about the righteousness which is of the Torah. The man who does these shall live by them. But the righteousness of belief speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who shall ascend to the heavens? That is, to bring Messiah down. Or for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. And that's in the Strong's G5056. To set out for a definite point or goal. Properly, the point aimed at as a limit, that is, by implication, the conclusion of an act or a state. Termination, literally, figuratively, or indefinitely. Result, immediately, immediate, ultimate, or prophetic, a purpose. A custom or an end, or finally, utmost. Who shall descend into the abyss? That is to bring Messiah up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and is in your heart. That is the word of belief which we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth the Master Yeshua and believe in your heart that Elohim raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. Because the scripture says, whoever puts his trust in him shall not be put to shame. Because there's no distinction between Yehudi and Greek, for the same master of all is rich to all those calling upon him. For everyone who calls in the name of Jehovah shall be saved. Aaron was only allowed to enter in by the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and the blood of a ram as an ascending offering. Both the blood of a bull and a ram shadow picture for us the redemptive work of Yeshua Messiah, by whose blood we now have access into the presence of Elohim. And that's what I was saying earlier about the young bull and the ram. The term with a young bull is written in the Hebrew text as follows. And we'll go through some of the Hebrew language before ben Bakar with a bull, a son of the herd. And so we have a bull, a son of the herd. And the root words that are used here are the Strong's as par, Strong's H6499, which means bull, young bull, a steer, or a heifer. And then we have Bane, Strong's H1121, which means son, grandson, child, member of a group. And then we have Bakar, Strong's H1241, which means herd, cattle, ox, oxen, and bulls. As we consider these words, we're able to see how the blood of these animals was to be a clear shadow picture of the coming redemption of Israel through the blood of Messiah, and we are further able to see this by looking at the ancient pictograph script in regards to these key words. Let us therefore take a brief look at these words that I've just highlighted above in the ancient pictograph form and see how each word is clearly able to reveal to us the work of Messiah when used in terms of this access into the most set apart place, into the veil being spoken of here. Par, Strong's H499, which means bull, young bull, steer, or heifer. And that's the pay, and that's the race, that's the mouth, and that's the chief head. Pay is a mouth, a speak, a blow, a scatter. And then you have resh, which is the head of a man, meaning a chief or top, beginning. Bane, Strong's H1121, which means son, grandson, child, member of a group. And after you go through these a couple of times, it just starts sticking. You remember it. You start looking at it, you already know it before you even speak it. You get better and better and better at it. You get skilled. You have to get skilled in it. Which means son, grandson, child, member of a group. And then you have the bait. And then you have, I got to remember that one. That was the seed. It was the seed. What was it? Noon. Yeah, noon. Noon. Bait and noon. Yeah, that was Bane, bait and noon. Okay. Now that's the house. And then we have the sprouting seed, or the offspring. And then we have Bakar, Strong's H1241, which means a herd, the herd, cattle, ox, oxen, and bulls. And that's the bait, which is the house. And then we have the horizon, that was the kuf. We have the kuf, and then we have the resh, which is the head and the chief. So we have the bait, the kuf, and the resh. Sometimes you got to think a little bit, because you don't use them on a daily basis, you get a little fuzzy, you got to go back over them again. This is the letter bait. That's the house plan or the floor. Kuf, a horizon or time, a circle, a race, the chief, the head. As we consider these three words collectively and seeing the great prophetic shadow picture of how we're able to gain access into the set apart place inside the veil, we're able to see the clear message being depicted to these individual picture words. By the mouth, remember the word, we're washing the word of the head, who is the son, who is the seed. Remember, he's a living Torah, who is the seed that builds us up in him as we continue to follow his complete appointed cycle feast. For by his sacrifice, he became a sin offering for us in his own blood. Amen. See how important Yeshua is? And you wouldn't know this if we wouldn't go back and look up the history and the language, and put its proper context. I did have a great conversation with those guys speaking about the history, the language, and the context, because the word came up about, the New Testament. And I shared with them a little bit about us going through the history and the language and the context. And like, yeah, you know, that's right. You know, we got a lot of, a lot of religions out there that everybody's got their take on everything, but everybody's, you're right, making up stuff if you don't go back to the beginning and read the beginning of the book of what it says. You're just going to make up stuff. But if you go back to the beginning of the book and start reading, you see clearly what they're talking about in the New Testament. And so we had those brief little words, and they was on board with that. As we consider the ram for the sinning offering, we can also see a powerful shadow picture of the fullness of the work of our mighty Redeemer. The Hebrew root word that is used for ram is strong, is ayil, Strong's H352, which means terebinth. And a terebinth is a tree. A terebinth, chief, pillar, doorpost, and a ram. The ram is a grown male sheep and is the head of the flock. You have to know that. You have to know that a ram is a grown male sheep and is the head of a flock. Because you got to put it in terms of what Yeshua is. A shepherd may have one or two rams and a flock of ewes to promote uniformity. The ram is forever in the eyes of the Hebrew. That's why you got to know Hebrew. That's why we got to know those people, about those people, to understand the book that was written to the Hebrew people. It says, the ram is forever in the eyes of the Hebrew, seen as a substitute animal, faithful unto death. This is, of course, because Yehovah provided, remember, he provided a ram for Yitzhak, for Abraham, for his son, Yitzhak. As a substitute for Yitzhak on that day when Abraham's faith was revealed. And it was in Genesis chapter 22, 12 through 14. Do not lay your hand on the boy nor touch him, for now I know that you fear Elohim, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked and saw behind him a ram caught in a bush by its thorns, by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for an ascending offering. There's the shadow picture, the ascending offering that Yeshua would do for us, offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Yehovah Yireh, as it is said to this day, on the mountain Yehovah provides. The blood of a ram as an ascending offering clearly depicts for us the complete provision of Yehovah for us through the blood of Messiah, who will be lifted up as an ascending offering. At that time, Aharon went before Yehovah, and he had to do it a precise way. And like Pastor was talking about, can you put yourself in Aharon's shoes? He had to make sure everything was right. He had to make sure his mind, everything was clear, because if you go in there and just one little thing was wrong, you died, you dead. And Yeshua paid the ultimate price, and he stands before the Father making intercession for us. We have somebody to get to the Father now, continually, not just once a year, all the time. Before you go to bed, when you rise up in the morning, all the day, no matter what, we have an advocate with the Father to go before the Father. And if we have any questions, he'll have the answer. Pastor talked about getting up on the side of his bed and just praying to the Father and asking him through Yeshua, and he answers him. He answers him, and he waited and waited, and he got the answer. Anything you have need of, he'll answer you and help you. As we look at the ancient pictograph script and the letters that make up this word, Ayil, Strong's H352, we are further able to see the clear message being given in the context of this needed blood that would have given us access into the presence of our Master and Elohim. Ram, Ayil, Strong's H352, which means terebinth, chief, pillar, doorpost, ram. And now we have Aleph, we have the head of an ox, and then we have Yod, which is the right arm, and then we have Lamed, which is like a teacher. So we have the head, Aleph, which would be Yehovah, and we have the right arm, with a strong right arm. Yeshua would be the strong right arm and be a teacher. As we consider these pictograph letters, we are able to recognize the power of the substitutionary sacrifice that is provided for us. The Aleph, the head of all creation, through his mighty revealed outstretched arm and hand, has caused us to be able to draw near to him. Who's the mighty right? Who's the strong right arm? That's Yeshua HaMashiach. To be able to come to the Father under the clear authority of the Good Shepherd, Yeshua Messiah. What is also worth noting is that this word, Ayil, when used in its prolonged form, is often translated as terebinth, which in the Hebrew word Elyon, Strong's H436, which means terebinth, oak, and mighty, the prolonged form of Ayil. Another word that is also used for terebinth is Elah. Elah, Strong's H424, which also means terebinth or an oak, and is the feminine of Ayil. Why am I mentioning this? Is simply to illustrate that the terebinth tree in Scripture gives us a clear reference to a very strong and very durable tree that has a sturdy structure as well as an extensive root system that enables the tree to remain green even during a drought. The strong tree is known to grow up to 36 foot high, and due to its root system, can sprout up from a stump after having been cut down. Remember we talked about, and a stem shall come up from the root of Jesse. Remember we read about that? Jesse. Yeshua would be the stem that would come up from the root of Jesse, from his offspring. When we see the relation of this word being closely identified with ram, we're further able to glean a great deal regarding the strengthening work that the blood of Messiah has in our lives as we become a planting of Yehovah and Messiah to be adorned. We become rooted and we become grounded in Him. When the wind and the waves blow, when something tries to tell you you're not when you're not, and you are and you are, and it tries to confuse you and deceive you, you won't be deceived. You won't be shaken. You won't be moved. You'll be rooted and grounded in Him. Isaiah 61, I think I'm supposed to go to this one. Let me see. 76. I missed a little scripture here back in one of these slides, but I'm going to stop right there and go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. His word is the final authority, rooted and grounded in His word, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 9 through 16. And I highlighted the word, the word, the word, the word in this first verse. Trustworthy is the word, and worthy of all acceptance. His pure, clean word is for this that we labor and struggle, because we trust in the living Elohim, who is the Savior of all men, particularly of those who believe. Command and teach these matters. Let no one look down on your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in behavior, in love, in spirit, in belief, in cleanliness. You wouldn't know that if you wouldn't have read the Torah from the beginning. I didn't know what that was back then, when I didn't know much about the beginning of my Bible. But now I know what cleanliness He's talking about. We've got to be clean. We have to be clean from all unrighteousness, all infirmities and our iniquities. Then was able to take upon the set apart spirit and listen. Then you can come into the house, be set apart. You can't come into the house until you're clean. So all that starts sinking in. You understand what He's talking about. And cleanliness. Until I come, this is a command. Give attention to reading of Scripture, to encouragement, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the elderhood. Practice these matters. Be in them so that your progress might be plain to all. Pay attention to yourself and to the teaching. Continue in them, for in doing this, you shall save both yourself and those who hear you. That's why it's important. That's why I had to repent this week, because one little word, those who hear you, can cause a trouble. But you go before Yeshua, you repent, and it doesn't matter who, when, where, how, it can be fixed. It can be made adjusted. It can be done. It says, continue in them, for in doing this, you shall save both yourself and those who fear you. So in slide 76 here, Yeshayahu, Isaiah 61:3. There's a word in here I was looking at. 61:3, to appoint unto those who mourn in Zion to give them embellishment for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and they shall be called trees of righteousness, a planting of Yehovah to be adorned. See that word embellishment? Look up the word embellishment. It's Strong's. Embellishment is beauty or adornment. It's pahar, Strong's H2, H6287. Pehayr. 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 An embellishment, that is a headdress, an ornament, attire, a beauty, a dressing, attire. Embellishment. Pehayr, Strong's H2H6, is to gleam, that is embellishment, figuratively boast, that is to explain, to make clear of oneself, to boast, to glorify, to be glorified, to glorify. In Isaiah 61:3, to appoint unto those who mourn in Zion to give them embellishment for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they shall be called trees of righteousness, a planting of Jehovah. And in verse 4, to be adorned, and they shall rebuild the old ruins. What are we doing? We're rebuilding the old ruins, raising up the former waste, and they shall restore the ruined cities, the waste of many generations, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be called priests of Jehovah, servants of our Elohim, shall be said of you. You shall consume the strength of the nations and boast in their esteem. Instead of your shame and reproach, they rejoice a second time in their portion. Therefore, they take possession a second time in their land. Everlasting joy is theirs. There's going to come a time where all this is going to be a reversal. It's going to be a shift. All those who are stand fast, it looks like they're being thrown away, no more good, it's not happening, it's not going to happen, but it'll happen in the end. It says, and for I, Jehovah, I love right ruling. I hate robbery for ascending offering, and I shall give their reward in truth and make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the nations, and their offspring in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed Jehovah has blessed. I greatly rejoice in Jehovah. My being exalts in my Elohim, for he has put garments of deliverance on me. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bridegroom adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the seed to shoot up, so the Master Jehovah causes righteousness and praise to shoot up before all the nations. And that's what's going to happen in the future. So we've got to continually grow in this. We've got to continually learn and practice and make adjustments. And we're going to go through things. But we're going to go through a couple of these. I don't have much more time. We've got 5 more minutes. But these are trees of righteousness. The Hebrew word that is translated as trees is Ayil, Strong's H352, and the Hebrew word that is translated as righteousness is Zedek, a Zadik, Strong's H6664, which means righteous, just, and righteousness. So be trees of righteousness. The Hebrew word that is translated as planting, there's a scripture that talks about the planting of Jehovah. It's in there. They shall be the planting of Jehovah. Comes from the root word matah, H4302, which means a place or an act of planting, a plantation, where it was planted. And the word comes from the root verb natah, Strong's H5193, which means to plant, establish, fix, and fasten. When Messiah comes again and his reign is established here on earth, we who are in him shall be firmly planted and called trees of righteousness, ambassadors of the kingdom to come. We recognize how we are to be firmly planted in his word as strong trees of righteousness. In scripture, we find many agricultural word pictures that are used to describe man. And Dawid tells us what the faithful who meditate on the Torah day and night will be like. And in Psalms 1, 3. For we shall be as trees planted by rivers of water that yields its fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. Through the atoning work of the blood of Messiah, we are able to be firmly planted as trees of righteousness, and in him we are now called to be daily living sacrifices. That is, we are to be a complete ascending offering through the set-apart obedience to his commands. And that's how we become an ascending offering before him. Yeshua paid the price. He's atoned for us. And now we do right things by being obedient to his word, keeping ourselves clean, and we can come before him, and our prayers are a sweet-smelling aroma unto him when we do that. We can be clean and set apart before him. I'm going to be out of time, so I'm going to go to this last scripture right here, and I'm going to end it right here. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and 19. There's trees that will be planted by rivers of living water. That's what we're supposed to be. And there's trees that's going to be cut down. In Matthew 7, 15 through 19, but beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are savage wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Are figs from thistles? So every good tree yields good fruit, but a rotten tree yields wicked fruit. Remember, wicked, rotten fruit, just like bad things that tried to enter into that beehive, the bees take it away. Remember when they would get za'arat, it had to be put outside the camp. One rotten fruit in a bag of fruit will rot the whole thing. It has to be taken out and thrown out. He says, you know them. He says, so every good tree yields good fruit, but a rotten tree yields wicked fruit. A good tree is unable to yield wicked fruit, and a rotten tree to yield good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. It all reflects of the cutting the animals into pieces, burning them on the fire, all the way to the end. Those who are still wicked and evil and sheep's clothing, but they're ravenous wolves on the inside. When it comes, they're going to be cut to pieces and thrown into the fire. They're going to be cut down. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown to the fire. I'm out of time. 2 more minutes. So we talked about everything about that. That's about all I've covered. I had a lot more to go, but hey, you just got to, this is a couple of days. This just ain't one day. It takes, you can talk a long time. So anyways, let's stay in Yeshua. Let's keep the pitch on. Let's keep ourselves clean and pay attention. Anybody have anything else? Anybody have any prayers, requests?